Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One. Real men are an endangered species, shouted down and hunted. But Adam knows you're out there, alone in a sea of cowards. That's why he built a place for you rare breeds to come together. That's why he created Renaissance Man. At RenManUSA.com, you'll find your one-stop shop for all the products that Adam and real men like yourselves actually want. Things for the outdoorsman, the drinker, the driver, and yes, the lover. Renaissance Man is where Corolla fans go to find carefully curated gifts, vacation packages, and articles on things that are actually interesting, not blogs about which statues should go next. It's a calling card, a place for those who understand that the noblest pleasure in life is living it well. Head to RenManUSA.com for yourself or the man in your life, and get ready because this Christmas, Adam Carolla brings you Renaissance Man.
In this episode, Mark's very animated, as per usual. We get into some of the COVID protocols. We also get into the Kyle Rittenhouse case and Judge Alito and some of the stuff involving the election and Trump's road and legal recourse with the election, all covered. First, I'll tell you about Madison Reed. Madison Reed, Mister. So Madison Reed makes hair coloring. And they made it for women, and they still make it for women, and they worked out pretty nicely. Women seem to like it a lot. So now they have Madison Reed Mister, and they do it for the fellas. It's a gray blending natural color for your hair and for your beard. You can check out the before and after shots. There is no shoe polish look. It is a very clean, natural look. I've used this several times. Just take some of the gray out of the temples and puts a little of your natural hair color back into it. And you want a little more pepper and a little less salt? Well, you got to go with Madison Reed. Quick, easy to use. Madison Reed Mister. Right, Gary?
That's absolutely right. Go to MadisonReedMister.com. That's MadisonReedMR.com. And use code Adam10 for 10% off plus free shipping on your first box. Again, that's code Adam10.
This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. A choice but to get on. Mandate, get it on, and welcome to the best hour or so in the universe. It's Reasonable Doubt. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Mark Garagus over there, not in the studio.
Right. I tried to make it to the studio, but as I mentioned, you know that we're all the way back in L.A. County because it took me a good hour to get from the west side to downtown this morning. And I just knew there was no way. If I had tried to get from Beverly Hills to Glendale sometime as we're taping this, it would have been 2 hours.
Yeah,
And what's your theory on that? I bet you got a theory on that.
My theory, it's my recognized at the airport theory, which is, I'll make this make sense. You don't have to check Nielsen ratings. You don't have to check overnights. You don't have to check demo. If you're on a popular show and you walk through an airport, people will stop you. If your show is not popular, you won't be stopped. In L.A., you can talk about lockdowns and curfews and, you know, and safer at home and all that kind of stuff. But when you go out and there's a ton of traffic, that means nobody's listening to the mayor or the governor. Because when you try to go out in L.A., I was going for cannonball runs in March, April, and May, and now it is back to good old L.A. traffic.
This is as crowded and as much traffic as I have seen in years. So apparently, whether we're closed down, sheltering in place, or we've got a epidemic, people are done with it. It's funny. Before I got on here, somebody had just texted me an article. I don't know if you've seen this. I mean, because there's so much going on this week that I can talk about and you could talk about, but I just thought it was ironic with your love for our governor here that Do you have it there, Gary? Gavin apparently got into a little bit of a hypocritical stranglehold because he was at a gathering as he just this morning declared that there's now a travel advisory. You're not supposed to travel. You're not supposed to have Thanksgiving with more than whatever number of close friends or family. And even then, you got to eliminate family. But now, apparently, he was at a gathering at the French Hand Laundry restaurant. Did you see this, Gary?
I didn't.
Yeah, I did. I didn't see it. One of his close campaign advisors was having a 50th birthday party, and it was at French Laundry, which we've talked about on the Adam Carolla Show.
Napa, right?
Yep, up in Napa. Yep. And there was members of at least, I think it was 8 different households and a total of 12 to 15 people or something.
Right.
And which, you know, by the way, I maybe I'm going to take the words out of your mouth. That would be fine. I got no problem with that. I got no problem with that whatsoever, right? I mean, okay, if everybody is doing it, they're doing it in a socially responsible manner and whatever else you want. I do have a problem, though, when you do it at the French Hand Laundry, who, by the way, Thomas Keller, like me, has been suing his insurance companies for business interruption. The celebrity chef who owns French Hand Laundry. But I do have a problem with it when you're doing that and then telling other people that they can't have Thanksgiving gatherings, or you're issuing travel advisories. Or, by the way, there was a Superior Court judge who restrained him from doing anything unconstitutional, and he just had the Attorney General ask them to can you just put that on hold for 2 weeks? Right. I mean, isn't that the great argument? Just put my unconstitutional orders on hold, or the order prohibiting me from doing something unconstitutional on hold for 2 weeks.
Well, again, this is evil stepdad saying to teenage daughter, your curfew is when the streetlights come on. How long before she climbs out the window and blows her boyfriend in the parking lot of the Costco? Like, here's the whole thing, Newsom. No one's listening to your fucking retarded ass anymore. Nobody cares. Don't believe me? Check the traffic.
Hey, I want to tell you something. You know, I put my money where my mouth is. I knew what was happening with this election, and you don't want to know how I knew? Hmm. And I knew. Everybody in downtown L.A. boarded up. Everybody. In fact, the guy, the restaurant next door is boarded up. Even Chick-fil-A around the corner boarded up. The fine arts building around the corner boarded up. I mean, everybody is boarded up. I didn't board up. You know why?
Why?
Because I knew the city of L.A., the county of L.A., they knew enough to vote heavily Biden. You know why? Because they wanted to send Garcetti packing. And you've seen where he's under consideration for the cabinet. I know. Well, who's going to riot when they know they get rid of Garcetti? They're going to cheer. It's going to be a celebration that makes the Lakers and the Dodgers look like a tea party.
Well, the problem with overreach, whether it's Newsom or stepdad, is, you know, it's like Thanksgiving. Everyone's just going to do what they do for Thanksgiving. Find me one couple that's going to eat in their yard for Thanksgiving. By the way, it's goddamn cold outside now. It's going to be colder at Thanksgiving. It's, you know, and by the way, you don't want to put stuffing out when it's 47 degrees outside. It coagulates and congeals very quickly. So nobody's fucking doing any of the shit that asshole's telling us to do.
I couldn't agree more. Mark, I had a question I want you and Adam to weigh in on. You mentioned that he asked them to stay the suspension of his powers for 2 weeks. That number's weird to me. What's he planning to do in the next 2 weeks? Why wouldn't it be stay indefinitely?
There's a lot of scuttlebutt. Let me as to how people think things are happening. And here's one theory. One theory is that the reason that Trump is not conceding is, even though Arizona was called, even though basically Pennsylvania was called, and there was a court case I've been texting with Harmeet about it. In terms of in Pennsylvania,
Harmeet Dillon,
friend of the show.
Right.
There is a theory out there that it's not exactly secret. It's been, the New York Daily News has been talking about it. I've been talking about it for weeks. They've been telegraphing, both Pompeo and Rudy Giuliani and several others have been telegraphing that the Republican legislatures in some key states may send a different electoral state that does not reflect their popular vote, the basis upon which will be that, and we talked about this briefly, Adam, in past episodes, the basis will be is that there's now distrust in the voting, even though the so far there hasn't been any traction on that in the courts. But if the Republican-controlled legislatures send a electoral slate and electors that will vote differently than the popular vote, that there can be that that would then throw it into the U.S. Supreme Court. Because right now, most of the challenges are not getting enough traction to, I think, get to the U.S. Supreme Court, in my opinion. But that could be a way that you could get to the U.S. Supreme Court. That would also be a way, by the way, that would play into some of the opinions that have been written about Wisconsin and about Pennsylvania. Now, why does that matter? Well, first of all, the Newsom is going to have the ability to appoint a senator, because if Kamala Harris is elected as vice president, so let's assume that she's the vice president-elect and Biden is the president. If there's an electoral fight in the Electoral College, which could be as soon as, or at least a fight that takes place December 14th, he's asking to just kind of run out the clock for a little bit to get some clarity on this, I think, and see whether or not Trump is going to contest this and where this is going to go. Because he may be premature in making that a senatorial appointment if, in fact, the Senate is in a free-for-all with the House as to an electoral fight at some point. That there is a, I know people think it's a remote possibility, but you have to understand from Trump's standpoint. I mean, I can tell you when clients are desperate, and I'm sure he recognizes the jeopardy he's in. He has significant jeopardy, whether he pardons himself on the way out the door or not. He's got jeopardy from the Manhattan DA's office and the New York AG's office. He's not going to willingly go. He's not going to plan on, you know, I'm announcing for the 2024. If he thinks that he's going to leave and immediately he's going to be indicted in one of those two jurisdictions. And so is it knowing the way Trump seems to think, I think it's folly for anybody to assume that he's going to just relinquish without a fight and without a Hail Mary. And the Electoral College is a Hail Mary. It's an interesting kind of a legal chess game. I know how clients get. You know, clients always say in their most desperate hour when they're facing this kind of mortal jeopardy, it's, you know, I gotta hire somebody who knows the judge. I gotta hire somebody who knows the prosecutor. You flail around. There's a desperation.
I wanted to bring up a case that I saw featured the other night on Tucker Carlson with the mother of Kyle Rittenhouse, who was the Kenosha 17-year-old who brought the AR-15 and then. The news, of course, reported him as a white supremacist. And when you took, if you break down the game film, you know, it, first off, you go, all right, the guy has a weapon with him. He's 17. That seems like a bad idea. And I agree with that. He was there, like removing graffiti earlier in the day and administering to people with his kit, you know, his medical kit. And the reason there's two dead people is because two idiots who turned out to be pretty bad characters, one guy just chased him into a parking lot and basically cornered him. That guy got shot. Then Kyle was trying to give himself up and make his way toward whatever the battle lines were. And another guy bum rushed him to try to tackle him and he fell to his back and that guy got shot. And then the other guy tried to like hit him with a skateboard and that guy got shot in the arm. But when you really break down the game film, murder is off the table, probably second degree murder. I mean, maybe manslaughter. But no affiliation with any groups of Proud Boys or Antifa or white supremacists or anything like that in his background. and there was a Biden ad that talked about white supremacy. A fucking course we got to talk about white supremacists in 2000 and almost 21. But it featured Kyle Rittenhouse in it. It featured an image of him, and I'll show it to you, Mark. But what is our attorney who represented Lee Sandman?
Linwood.
Linwood.
Oh,
sorry,
Linwood.
In a world where Linwood is getting paid, tell me if you think Rittenhouse or in his family could get paid. We'll show you the ad. So
willing tonight to condemn white supremacists and militia groups and to say that they need to stand down and not add to the violence in a number of these cities, as we saw in Kenosha and as we've seen in Portland.
Sure,
are you prepared
to
specifically
do, that,
do it?
All right.
Go ahead.
All right. So can we stop talking about fucking race already, you fucking assholes? It's driving me nuts.
So
you showed an image of this kid in the ad.
Yeah, and Lynn, I believe, represents him, not in the criminal case. He's got, from what I understand, a criminal defense lawyer there in Wisconsin who is very able, been described to me. But it points out precisely what, by the way, we have been talking about as long as this show's been on the air, which is 5 years, and what I've been talking about for four decades. When you do a rush, whether it's somebody you like or somebody you hate, you rush to the narrative that is fed to you immediately. That's fine if you want to have a parlor discussion or this or that. Get it, parlor? That's kind of my little double entendre. But there is a presumption of innocence here in America. And it's really when criminal cases get used for political purposes, the politicalization of the criminal law, it's a scary, scary, scary place to be, because you get presumed guilty as opposed to presumed innocent. I've said for years, the only people who ever get a real presumption of innocence are law enforcement and celebrities. The infamous don't get a presumption of innocence. And it's tough enough in the criminal defense world and the criminal justice system to actually get somebody to come in, sit in a jury box and say, yeah, I presume innocence. I mean, most people's knee-jerk reaction is where there's smoke, there's fire. And that's always been kind of the narrative here. The one thing that this case makes is interesting is you had the president basically coming and kind of giving a forearm shiver to the presumption of guilt that was being fed to the public. Now, you can disagree vehemently with the president like I do on, 80% of the issues. But at the same time, as I've been saying, we've kind of turned the whole criminal justice system on its head in the last 4 years, three and a half, 4 years, because we've had a challenge to law enforcement. We've had a challenge to the way that we convict first and ask questions later. And as you said, what we heard initially certainly does not necessarily comport with what we're hearing now, does it?
Well, it's not what we're hearing. It's what we're seeing. The whole thing's on video. You can see him being chased into a parking lot. You can see him turn around and fire in self-defense. You can see him being chased again and attacked in the street. Like, if you're a defense attorney, this footage is invaluable to you because you have two people dead. The question is was it provoked? Was it self-defense? What was it? What was it? Well, we have a videotape of your client being chased.
That won't bother prosecutors. Trust me. We talked about that case I had on whatever
right.
It was, Hollywood or Sunset Boulevard years ago. They had video the same thing. They just, it's almost as if, I remember a case I tried down in LAX court years ago where the prosecutor literally was prosecuting my client and the boyfriend for an assault in an elevator. I finally was able to get the elevator footage, how they have the cameras in there. And we got it mid-trial and we put it on. And you'd think, and there's nobody else in there. There was no assault. And the prosecutor's thing was, well, they they thought it was in the elevator. It was really once they got out of the elevator.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's anything goes.
Obviously, the prosecutor's not going to slow his roll, but this will affect the jury, obviously, if you can see this footage. But back to the lawsuit. So you're doing a commercial campaign about white supremacists. Right. You now include a minor who is not a white supremacist in your ad. What is the liability there for the Biden campaign?
I think the Biden campaign would say this is core political speech. There is no defamation, libel, or anything else. Plus, he would necessarily, or I think as a precursor, he'd have to get over the hurdle of not being convicted. If he's acquitted, then, or if the charges are dropped, and Lynn Wood famously represented Richard Jewell, and some people, and they made a movie about it recently, then all bets are off. It's a completely different calculation. That doesn't mean, however, that there aren't potential causes of action for him against news outlets if you can get over that hurdle of malice. And I'm sure that Lynn has probably looked into that the candidates are in a different position than the news outlets would be in.
No, he's going to go full Nicholas Sandman part due on this one. He's going to do a reboot of that because evidently Nicholas Sandman, the guy wearing the MAGA hat in the mall with the whatever school that was with the American Indian, that guy's been getting some paydays and is in line for multiple more paydays. And I think you could probably take the same general premise and go after the same news outlets this with a different teenager this time. Because when that whole thing came out, it was like, you know, white supremacists, you know, shooting peaceful protesters and all that stuff. They're probably going to have a field day with those guys as well. And maybe
if he's acquitted, the problem if he's acquitted, because the problem you've got is, and I mean, my advice always to clients is they, you know, they're so worried about these things. And I understand that. I mean, it's, you know, you'd hate to have the shit kicked out of you, both criminally and in the court of public opinion. But, you know, the most criminal defense lawyers, their first reaction is going to be, let's worry about civil liability and holding people accountable once we've gotten you out of harm's way and criminal jeopardy. And that most criminal defense lawyers who got any experience are going to be advising him of that. That's fine. Have a civil lawyer, but he's not going to be driving the car. You know,
I think he's going to be acquitted. From the analysis of the videotape I've seen,
I think he could conceivably, all of the clips I've seen, depending on how they present it, I think a tough case for the prosecution. I think where they've got where they're going to get traction, however, is the transportation of the acquiring of the gun.
I agree.
And I think that's where there's going to be some real jeopardy for the young man.
I agree. It's going to be the possession of the gun and the transportation of the gun and the procurement of the gun. It's not going to be any of what the gun did. It's going to be.
No, I mean, I think that's and there's a problem with that. I've had cases like that where you win the battle, lose the war, where, you know, you say this case is bullshit, but they get you, you know, the old, what I always call the Al Capone theory, you know, they don't get you on the main charges, but they get you on tax evasion or something like that. And that's part of the power of the prosecution.
He's been in jail, Kyle Rittenhouse, for, I don't know, 75 days or maybe more, whatever. He's been incarcerated for, you know, 2.5-3 months or something like that. If he was one of your more affluent clients, would he be out now?
Yeah, I've actually, in a case like that, I've had clients who very similar to this have had a high profile or at least a case with a profile. I've had other clients of mine who the charges, for whatever, better or for worse, resonated with them, who said how much to bail this person out and have asked me my opinion as to whether or not the client would show up. So I've had some clients who actually are benefactors for other clients. I can see where Lynn might have clients, or the local lawyer may have clients, or people who are who would want to step up and do the bailout. I mean, you know, the interesting thing about these cases is why, and part of the struggle, you know, we just had that proposition here in California, and you and I talked about it in Salt Lake City on the live, whether or not eliminating cash bail. The problem with eliminating, this is kind of the tug of war, problem with eliminating cash bail, which didn't pass in California, was you then leave it to judges to look at logarithms, basically, based on kind of an amorphous formulas. And that doesn't give me or most criminal defense lawyers a whole lot of comfort, if you will, because the judges have a tendency, especially at the trial court level, to, as one Supreme Court, California Supreme Court justice once told me, a very good friend of mine, he said, there's a certain symbiotic relationship between the DA's office and the trial court bench. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't think Kyle's a flight risk, so that'd probably be, you know, a plus.
They argued that he was a flight risk. He left and went across state lines. The prosecution argued that.
Oh, didn't even know it. All right, let me hit HelloFresh, and then we'll get on to some more stories. America's number one meal kit. Fresh, pre-measured ingredients and mouthwatering seasonal recipes with convenient, no contact delivery right to your door. Easy to follow recipes, simple steps and pictures. More than 20 chef-crafted delicious options every week to help you break out of that recipe rut. First carbon-neutral meal kit company, by the way. Skip the grocery store.
By the way, did you get your box?
Oh, yeah.
Did you get your box?
We use this all the time.
It was great.
And, yeah, Olga whips it up, and it is unbelievable. Reduce food waste by 25%, easy change delivery days for meal plan preferences, and you can skip a week whenever you might need to. Just use the app. So go to HelloFresh.com, Doubt90. Use the code Doubt90 to get $90 off, including free shipping. All right, Mark, you have a video you wanted to talk about, or you want to talk about something else?
Gary, do you want to cue it up? As we take this, I mean, there's a million things I'd love to talk about, Armenia, Artsakh, but in the legal world right now, this is kind of, that is Justice Alito, Samuel Alito, who gave a speech Thursday night to the Federalist Society. And here's one particular portion of this speech. He's getting excoriated in the legal community by a lot of people. But here's one part that I thought you might enjoy, Adam.
I'm now going to say something that I hope will not be twisted or misunderstood, but I have spent more than 20 years.
But wait a second. Can you press pause for 1 second? He knew what was coming. Do you hear
right.
that, Gary?
Oh, yeah.
Adam and Gary? Yeah. He knew what was coming. And by the way, did it get twisted? I don't know if you want to call it twist, whatever side of the ideological spectrum you're on, but he's getting pilloried right now. Here you go.
Years in Washington. So I'm not overly optimistic. In any event, here goes. The pandemic has resulted in previously unimaginable restrictions on individual liberty. Now, notice what I am not saying or even implying. I am not diminishing the severity of the virus's threat to public health. And putting aside what I will say shortly about a few Supreme Court cases, I'm not saying anything about the legality of COVID restrictions. Nor am I saying anything about whether any of these restrictions represent good public policy. I'm a judge, not a policymaker. All that I'm saying is this, and I think it is an indisputable statement of fact. We have never before seen restrictions as severe, extensive, and prolonged as those experienced for most of 2020.
Yeah.
And
no
you,
shit.
And there's also, he talks about gay marriage. He talks about the cake bake case. He hits all the hot buttons.
Well,
and
yeah.
For those who don't, let me just tell you something, because I spent several years ago, he came to, I love people who think these, you know, look, I was a huge fan of RBG, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I always have to say this with our audience, a huge fan. I've never had a prolonged conversation with her, but I have had a prolonged conversation with Justice Alito. He came to the 100th commemoration of the Armenian Genocide in Washington, D.C. He was a guest of one of a friend of mine, and I had a wonderful conversation with him. This is not the caricature that he's portrayed to be. You may not agree with his ideology, which I don't on most cases, but this is a thoughtful, highly, highly intelligent man who's making statements, and he knew when he made them right there that was going to be a hot button, right?
Why is he being pilloried?
How could he be saying this on on COVID cases, which are going to be up in front of him? How could he be saying this about gay marriage? How could he be saying this about, name the case? By the way, I never got mad. In fact, I used to get angry that RBG would apologize when she did the exact same thing. I mean, go take a look at some of her interviews. I mean, she was not shy, and I used to think it was great. In fact, I'm one of those geeks who watched this C-SPAN and has watched Anthony Kennedy over the years and watched Scalia. I used to love watching Scalia. Breyer has done some long form interviews. I don't understand why you're supposed, and by the way, Clarence Thomas as well, who I'm no fan of. I probably don't agree on more than 5% of his rulings. But talk about the overwrought, crazy reaction to somebody having opinions who's sitting on the Supreme Court. Insanity.
But I'm a little confused now, because I said, why is he being pilloried for this comment? But then you brought up gay marriage and other things like that.
Because he went, this is a case that they went, that they was 5-4. In fact, I don't know. I think it was Harmy who took it. It was the church, and he was in the dissent on the church case recently about COVID restrictions. Basically, I don't want to get it wrong on the facts, but basically it was you could have a secular gathering, that it was at a percentage.
Oh.
While we wait for Mark to come back, I'll help you out.
It could be if it was a...
Mark, your line got jammed up for a second.
Yep.
All right. Is he being pilloried for saying what he said about COVID?
He's being pilloried for the entire speech, because the point is that he is... judges traditionally were not come out and do outwardly political speeches where they would give their thoughts. He touched on COVID. He's being pilloried for that, but mostly it's for the general political stance he's taking.
All right. Well, he's right on COVID.
And all he said was, we've never had these kinds of restrictions. Not pulling a Bill Barr, where Bill Barr says, we haven't had these kinds of restrictions since slavery. He's not that tone deaf or idiot. But what he's saying is, and what you and I have kind of bandied about for what, 9 months now, 8 months now, these restrictions bear so little resemblance to the science or any kind of ability to rationally base them. And you have to understand, people don't get this. Let me try to say this one more time. We've got a situation in California where the governor, French hand laundry Newsom, is...
I think it's just French laundry, right?
Okay, I call him French hand laundry.
Okay.
You know why? Lake Street, Pasadena. Have you seen that? I grew up there. It's right south of California Lake, right down the street from Burger Continental. He had delegated to the Chief Justice the ability to declare judicial emergencies. We are sitting in a state where there has been nine, count them, emergency declarations suspending the writ of habeas corpus, suspending and tolling statutes of limitations. It's astonishing to me that, and people don't say a thing. I don't see anybody complaining. You try to get a trial court judge to do something. The one or two judges, Judge Chalfont is one, who issues an order. He was reversed within hours by the Court of Appeal. Why was he reversed? He was reversed because everybody knows if the Chief Justice is making the declaration, she's the judge and jury. You're going to get reversed by the Supreme Court.
Well,
it's astonishing.
All right, let's get off the legal ease and go a little more of a psychodynamic. So I was talking to Dr. Drew this morning, who's enjoying himself in Mexico at a villa, and I said, I don't get it. I don't get the people that are freaked out by this. And then why is there you and me and Mark Garagos and the people that work here, and then there's everyone else? Or my two co-hosts on ACS, Brian and Gina, are freaked out by this thing, and I have no thoughts about it. I'm traveling, going everywhere, doing everything. What is this?
Bald, I understand. Bald, I get. Bald is got... He's got a pre-existing condition. I'm with him. I want him to segregate. I want him to medically seal.
I agree, but pre-existing condition aside, they still look at this much differently than Dr. Drew looks at it, or that you look at it, or that Mike August. Mike August doesn't even know there's a pandemic going on. He has no idea what's going on. I am aware of something is going on, but I have not altered any of my actions down to washing my hands. What is this huge chasm between people that are coming home and taking all their clothes off and burning it in the yard, and then guys like me who've been wearing the same gym trunks for 14 days in a row? Like, what is this disconnect? First things first, do you know anyone who contracted it and was hospitalized by it or injured by it or died through it?
I know I had a very close friend, lawyer, who was hospitalized and died very quickly. And I had been emailing with him right before it happened over at Cedars. But his significant other / associate says that it wasn't COVID. That was the closest encounter that
how is that a close encounter?
I don't, because COVID. Exactly. That's what I mean. I have no idea.
I knew a guy in high school who died in a motorcycle accident. That's the closest. All right. So do you know anyone? So you don't know anybody.
I don't think that I've got no confirmation.
I don't know anybody. I know Brian Cranston's got it. Like that's all I got. And he's fine.
Oh, I've known people who got it and had it. I won't out them, but I don't know anybody confirmed who has died from it. But now we'll probably get tweeted at that we're sons of bitches because, 240,000 people have died.
They don't tweet me anymore because I tell them to all fuck off. I just call them pussies. But all right. So,
this is what I just have a real issue with the fact we're now at 160, I think was yesterday, that were positive tests. We probably will be at 250 a day within a week or on this trajectory right now. They're talking about the vaccine that Pfizer has come up with, but there's a problem with that because apparently the delivery chain, it has to be two doses and it's got to be refrigerated at all times and who knows. But you would think as you listen to the people who are experts here, that at this point, we have to do something to ameliorate the fear as well. I mean, there's obviously the messaging is not working. Wouldn't you agree?
Which messaging?
The messaging that you've got to... This started off in March. that we got to shut it down. Do you remember? You remember yes. more vividly than anybody. And we got to shut it down for, what was it back then? What were they telling you? And
I was like, 2 weeks. Then it was, you know, a few weeks past. It was going to be 2 weeks. And the first messaging that we didn't get was the ages of the people who died. We should have got ages, and we got no ages. And that was all part of CNN and the scare tactic, because 19 years old, that's panic time. 89 years old, not panic time. And they know if they give, if they don't give you, huh? Oh, sorry, flip-flop those two. But anyway, panic time on a 19 and no problemo on a 89. Didn't I? Is that right?
No, it's no problemo if you're 19, but it's panic time if you're 89,
No, I'm
right?
saying CNN.
Ah, sorry.
God damn it, Gary.
I'm sorry. I misunderstood. Anyway, it's my fault.
CNN isn't giving us the age, and that's what's freaked. That's what freaked everyone out initially. Look, shit happens. Life is fucking ain't free. And far as I can tell, this isn't doing anything to healthy-ish people that are under 70. So with that in mind, I'll see you guys in Florida this coming Friday, Saturday, West Palm Beach Improv with Mark Garagos as well. And again, no better guy to travel with than Mike August, who's woefully unaware of almost every danger. And that would include a bobcat on a hiking trail. Like, he just doesn't have any thoughts about personal safety because his dad was a football coach. But what is the wiring? What is your wiring, Mike's wiring, mine, and Dr. Drew's wiring, all very different people with very different backgrounds, versus all the scared shitless people on the internet?
I don't understand it. I think that even if you've got a grave concern, that you can still live your life. I think there's a way to live your life. You can not get within 6 feet of people. I mean, I kind of use that as a reason to say, stay away from me. So, you know, don't come into my office, you know, stay away. So I just don't understand. I talk, as you do, with Drew with great frequency. In fact, Douglas was at the house on his birthday the other day, his oldest triplet by 2 minutes. And we were talking about the fact that Susan and Drew had just gone to Cabo. And we were talking about the fact that that Drew has been to some degree vindicated. He was another guy who was taken through the ringer, and they tried to cancel him originally because he tried to speak, you know, sense to nonsense.
Well, I mean, remember 10 minutes ago, they were telling you to wipe everything down before you brought it in, spray all your boxes and fast food from Grubhub down, close down the parks, don't go on the beach. This is why I fucking railed against those assholes since day one, with closing the beach down, closing
the
parks
trails?
Down.
How about the fucking trails? How about our idiotic trails?
Well, look, this is my whole point. They closed down the trail. Did I stop walking down the trail because they closed down the trail? No, I didn't. No. Did I spray everything down and wipe everything down and wear gloves? No, I didn't. Did I stop going on the beach? No, I didn't. I didn't do most of the shit they told me to do because I have a fucking brain. And by the way, if Newsom had his way, he'd have you get up every day and do 5-count burpees and then send it to him on a video link before he would permit you to leave the house. That's what he would like. But you have
actually
to have a brain.
That would actually, you know, you had mentioned this in passing 3 or 4 episodes ago, and I've thought about it quite a bit since, that it would have been, along with the messaging, because we knew certain things back in March. We knew sunlight, vitamin D was good. We knew that that presumably being active and being outdoors was better than being locked up with a bunch of people. it could have been a very good team. And I remember talking to you about this and calling it the Vinny virus, because it seemed the worst effects seem to be people who are what Vinny targets as, you know, kind of his specialty to turn around. It would have been good if he had been encouraging people to do 10 burpees every morning or 20 burpees every morning, eating healthier, those kinds of things. It would have been a good thing to kind of, if you're going to tell people that they've got to change their habits and this or that, what about changing their habits for the better? And by the way, for those of you who say we don't do that, we do do that. We do that all the time.
I agree. And remember, think about how ridiculous this sounds through the lens of what we know on this date. You can go on the beach, but no laying down on the beach. All right, so I was like, hey, Barbara Ferrer, fuck off. Because that's an insane statement. Now, to the dumb people, to the weak, to the cowards, to the lemmings, to the sheep, to the pussies, it all made sense. But it didn't make sense to me that you couldn't fucking lay down on the beach.
The one that just kills me is, as you know, because we walk around La Cañada, our privileged area in the mornings, I've never understood the people who've got the mask on. I mean, the thing, and there's nobody within 100 yards of them. Ugh. I it's mind boggling to me. I don't get it. If I see somebody now, I just walk to the other side of the street.
Well,
I don't understand.
My greatest triumph from this whole bit was when I was walking through the horse trail where they had the police tape up. And of course they had the city inspector coming out because the rebels in La Cañada want to walk on empty horse trails, and we must dispatch somebody to put an end to this post haste. And the guy gets out of his car and he walks around and he said, you going down that horse trail? And I just looked at him. I said, where's your mask? He went, it's in the car. And I said, go get it on. And he went, you going on that horse trail? I said, where's your mask? It's in the car. You're not supposed to walk on the horse trail. You're not supposed to be outside without a mask. Where's your mask? Well, I'm alone. I'm alone. And it's, well, I'm alone on the horse trail, dick. So get back in the fucking car. The greatest moment, because I was on the phone with Drew during the time, and he was going ballistic. He was listening to the whole conversation. Look, lemmings, you want to dance to the song of the retarded piper? That is your fucking business. I'm not fucking dancing. Jesus Christ. All right, let me tell you about something that's going to put a smile on my face. Tommy John. Farmer's Almanac predicts winter's going to be brutally cold, and you can fight the cold with the cozy. You start by stockpiling some Tommy John bras and underwear, loungewear, and pajamas. This year, give the gift of comfort to everyone on your list, and do it for yourself as well with Tommy John men's and women's loungewear. This stuff is so comfortable. It is really just as good as the t-shirts are, as good as the underwear.
The underwear. But that loungewear pants thing is unbelievable.
They're like long johns, and you just don't want to get out of them. And they have pajamas, loungewear, underwear. All comes in limited edition sets, perfect for gifts. And they're going to sell out quick, so you need to order soon. It's Tommy John, right, Gary?
That's absolutely right. Order now to make sure your gifts arrive by the holidays. Go to TommyJohn.com/RD for $25 off site-wide. Get $25 off for a limited time only at TommyJohn.com/RD. TommyJohn.com/RD. See site for details.
All right, let's bring it home a little bit early because I got to do a Crank Yankers session today, which should be interesting. So that's coming back. So you can go to AdamCarolla.com because I'm doing live shows all over the place. Oh, man. Mike August, teeth chattering, sweating profusely on that Southwest flight. Yes.
I'd like to also note, akin to when we did the live show in Salt Lake City, you can expect next week's episode of Reasonable Doubt to be coming a little later than you expected, as we will be recording it Friday afternoon, Florida time.
Yeah,
Saturday afternoon, Florida time. My mistake.
Gary needs to get Don Julio to sponsor that trip, by the way.
Saturday afternoon, we'll be doing a matinee. So come on out, man. It was a fun, lively show we did last time. All right, Mark, absolutely. What do you got?
Well, coming up in, I think, Thanksgiving week is the Armenia Fund Telethon. Are the Prime Minister of Armenia, apparently in the cover of Night, signed a retreat out of Shushi and Artsakh. I'll leave that to next week. I just will tell all of those ARMOs who say it's okay to install a prime minister by democratic protest, but it's not okay to democratically protest something that you did now. You're hoisted on your own petard, but we'll leave it at that.
So, until next time, Adam Carolla for Mark Garriga saying, mahala.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode. This is Carolla Digital.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Ready to get away from it all? Free yourself with Pluto TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No contracts, no subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android or iPhone and start watching now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.